Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so in the last segment, the literary reference was to Brave New World. In this segment, it's Call Me Ishmael. That's, of course, the very beginning of one of America's greatest novels, Moby Dick. But how much do we really know about the passions that spurred Herman Melville to write his novel? And how much do we have to guess about what happened? Well, novelist Mark Beauregard makes a few guesses in his new novel called The Whale, A Love Story. And in it, he writes that it was the relationship between Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne that made Moby Dick so charged with that incredible deep passion. And Mark Beauregard joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, so this is a really fascinating novel about the relationship between Hawthorne and Melville. What exactly do we know in reality about how much interaction the two writers had?
Quite a bit, and it's been the subject of speculation for scholars for generations. We have Melville's letters to Hawthorne, which survived, and we have Hawthorne's journal entries. And we also have the letters and journals of their family and friends. There was an incredible literary community that sprang up in the Berkshires in the 1840s and 50s. And all of them wrote letters madly all the time and kept private journals. And so we have a great deal of evidence about who they were and what they did.
So in your novel, though, you make this, I'm not even sure if I'd call it a leap, because I think there has been some discussion about it, but you set the story that the relationship that we're talking about was more than just, you know, two writers of similar temperament, that their relationship was something deeper than that.
In fact, scholars have talked about the influence of Hawthorne on Moby Dick and on Melville for literally decades, since the 1920s. But no one quite explained why Melville's letters were so passionate and why their relationship caused such a change in Melville's work. Because Moby Dick is different from all the other books that he wrote. It's different in form, especially. And I think the relationship between Hawthorne and Melville accounts for this in many ways.
So different, I mean, it is significantly different, but are you saying that you feel that, like, there was a profound, like, romantic love between the two men that inspired Melville to make such a great leap with Moby Dick?
I think there's no question that Melville was in love with Hawthorne. The question is to what extent Hawthorne returned Melville's feelings and exactly what the nature of those feelings are.
Okay.
The interesting thing about the letters exchanged between the two men is that Melville's survived, but Hawthorne asked that Melville destroy his letters, which he did, which was the first thing that got me interested in their relationship, because so the question is, why would you want someone to destroy your letters? And when Sophia Hawthorne, Nathaniel's wife, was preparing his journals for publication after Hawthorne died, she blacked out significant portions relating to Melville and their nights together when they would stay up until 3 a.m. drinking brandy. And we know about those passages because some clever researchers from Harvard went back to the originals and x-rayed the parts that she had blacked out and found out that they referred to Melville. So this set me on an odyssey of exploration. Why was this? What were they hiding, if anything?
Wow. Okay. So Melville, as you've mentioned, also dedicated Moby Dick to Nathaniel Hawthorne. And he writes in the dedication, in token of my admiration for his genius. Now, in a lost letter, Hawthorne responds favorably to the book, and then that prompted Melville's response on November 17 of 1851, and we have that letter, right? That's one of the ones that you use for your research. Could you read a little bit of that?
I'd love to. And I'll mention ahead of time that Melville uses the word magians, an old form for magician. My dear Hawthorne, if the world was entirely made up of magians, I'll tell you what I should do. I should have a paper mill established at one end of the house, and so have an endless ribbon of foolscap rolling in upon my desk. And upon that endless ribbon, I should write 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 thoughts, all under the form of a letter to you. The divine magnet is on you, and my magnet responds. Which is the biggest? A foolish question. They are one. And then actually a little bit later in that letter, he says, whence come you, Hawthorne? By what right do you drink from my flagon of life? And when I put it to my lips, lo, they are yours and not mine.
Oh, interesting. So that's from an 1851 letter from Herman Melville to Nathaniel Hawthorne. I'm curious, though, You know, we're looking at this through 21st century eyes, and could we perhaps be wrong to ascribing sort of a homoerotic sensibility to these letters, whereas it's possible in the 19th century people would write such, you know, maybe big R romantic letters to each other because that was simply a means of expression and connection at the time?
We could be wrong, but I don't think we are.
Okay.
And the reason is this, that even though you're right that men expressed friendly affection for one another in much more intimate terms than we do today, these letters are unusual even in that context. And there's a wonderful book by Graham Robb called Strangers, which explores this very topic. He talks about how men behaved with each other in public, how they wrote to each other, the different standards of affection that they expressed. And I believe, anyone can look at the letters. They're available online at melville.org and a million other places. And you can judge for yourself whether you think this is merely friendly.
Yeah. So I'm thinking all of a sudden of another sort of contemporary of Melville's and Hawthorne's, and that would be Walt Whitman, who it seems there is a lot of scholarship about how he actually lived his life and in his literature as well. And many biographers believe he actually had male lovers at different times. But is there any sort of that kind of direct evidence about Hawthorne or Melville?
Well, there's no direct evidence, such as a note that said, "I really enjoyed last night," and explains exactly what happened. But there's so much circumstantial evidence that I was persuaded. And if Melville did have a love relationship with Hawthorne, it explains many things about Moby Dick that are otherwise somewhat difficult to explain, beginning with the dedication, but not least the fact that there's a representation of a marriage between two men in Moby Dick. In Chapter 10, Ishmael and Queequeg get married. And that would be a very strange thing for a normative heterosexual man to be thinking or writing about in 1850.
Yeah. Well, finally, before we run out of time, I do want to give listeners a little sense to how you put all the scholarship that you put together in the novel, The Whale. And there's a wonderful passage where you go inside Herman Melville's head. And I was wondering if you could just read that to us.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Herman was sitting quietly at the head of the table, staring into the fire, his mind far out to sea. His days had become an exhausting blur of fictional whales, farming chores, and a constant needling longing for Hawthorne, made worse by Hawthorne's continuing refusal to answer his letter. He was writing his whaling adventure at Hawthorne now, channeling all of his frustrations and affections, which he could express to no one in real life, into the operatic desires of his fishy allegory that he hoped would out-Hawthorne Hawthorne, a revelation of masculine beauty that Hawthorne could not help but recognize as an act of love.
That's Mark Beauregard reading an excerpt from his new novel, The Whale, A Love Story. Mark is going to be at the Harvard Bookstore tonight at 7 p.m. Last question in the last couple of seconds that we have. Did your research and reading of this, or writing the novel, The Whale, did it really change how you look at Moby Dick as a work of literature?
It completely changed my idea of Moby Dick. In fact, after I had done a couple of years of research just to check myself, I reread it, and it opened all kinds of new possibilities and avenues for reading it. It was beautiful. And so I really, as skeptical as I was in the beginning, I am a complete convert now.
Well, that's Mark Beauregard. His new novel is The Whale, A Love Story. And as I said, he'll be at the Harvard Bookstore tonight at 7 o'clock. And tomorrow at Paper Cuts in JP, also at 7. We've got information about both those events at wbur.org/radioboston. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.